Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of It Came From Amity. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Darren. Say hi.
How you doing, guys?
So today, we're covering something that was near and dear to me my whole life, and a lot of people, a lot of kids my age, a lot of kids your age. I was a huge wrestling fan when I was a kid. I'm still kind of a fan, not as much as I used to be. But when I was a kid, dude, you know, it was Hulk Hogan and Sting and Macho Man and all those guys, right?
Had Randy Savage and Jake the Snake, yep. And the Bushwhacker Brothers.
Uh-huh. Ultimate Warrior, all those guys. So I followed it up until, well, current day, but the best era was the 90s and the early 2000s. That was the best era. Today, we're talking about something that was pretty much, it was heartbreaking when it happened, and it changed a lot of lives. It changed the wrestling community, the way they drug test, the way they look for concussions and all that stuff. We're talking about the Chris Benoit case. It's been a long time coming. I don't think we've ever discussed this or even mentioned it. So we're going to get right into it. Christopher Michael Benoit, CMB we call him, was born in 1967, and he was Canadian. He worked for multiple promotions during his 22-year career, including WWF, which is now WWE, WCW, ECW, New Japan, all those. His nickname was the Canadian Crippler because he was a submission wrestler. He was very intense. He would get you in a hold and just wrench your neck around and grind your face on the mat. Like, he was very, very intense. He was not a very tall guy, but, I mean, he looked like a Wolverine. He was just stout and jacked. He could mess you up, dude.
Yeah, he looks built for sure.
So he held pretty much all the titles, even the heavyweight championship, the world championship. He held them all. He was a Royal Rumble winner. He was alongside Shawn Michaels and Edge, all those guys. Shawn Michaels is considered the best wrestler of all time, the best entertainer of all time.
Okay.
So during a course, let me pull this up because I do not want to get this wrong, guys. In 2007, from June 22nd to 24th, during a three-day period, he was only 40 years old. He killed his wife, Nancy, and their 7-year-old son, Daniel, before he hung himself in his house in Fayetteville, Georgia.
Hung himself with his weight machine.
Yep, with his weight machine. The autopsy results showed that his wife was murdered first. He choked her to death. And then she was found in a towel with blood, and yeah, it was pretty messed up. The son, who had Syndrome X, which is like a form of, it's like a rare form of autism. It's like a really rare, bad form of autism. He died of being choked as well. And on the third night, so he killed his wife on the 22nd, his son on the 23rd, and then himself on the 24th. That must have been absolute hell.
Absolutely.
I mean, he obviously had no mind at that point.
Right? One of the things I'd read said that he had drugged his kids so that he was asleep, and then he suffocated him with his pillow.
So
a little bit more humane than what he did to the wife.
Yeah. So he'd used his lat pull-down machine and hung himself. Place Bibles near their bodies.
And they weren't even a Christian family from...
No.
Which made it kind of weird.
And he, throughout his life, especially in his career, he had multiple concussions over and over. And they wouldn't even let them heal.
Right.
It would just be instant, back to work.
His brain was donated to a science lab.
Uh-huh.
And it was said that he was like an 80-year-old man with... Alzheimer's.
Yep. And they had also found roids in his system.
Yeah. Yeah.
They found, if I remember right, it doesn't say it here, he had 70 times the amount of testosterone in your system than a regular male.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
70.
That's a lot.
That's way too much, right?
Yeah, way too much.
So yeah, he went on a 3-day rampage, pretty much locked himself in the house and killed his family. I don't want to get too far in, like go too deep into it, because it's kind of awful. Especially somebody like him who I grew up idolizing and watching, and then you hear something like that and it's like, oh my gosh.
He wasn't in his right mind.
No, he lost his mind.
Whether it was roid rage or attributed to his concussions or whatnot, something broke.
He literally lost his mind. So the night of the pay-per-view, which would have been, I believe, Sunday, that would have been the third night where he killed himself, Chavo Guerrero, Eddie Guerrero's nephew, who's a wrestler, kept calling him. He was asking, you know, where are you? And Chris's excuse was that his son was food poisoned and he could not make it. He sounded tired and weird. So Guerrero just got concerned. Kept calling him. Finally, Benoit did not answer. So it's at that point where he killed himself.
Right.
Like when he stopped answering.
Supposedly there was a text he sent to somebody that said that the dogs were in the backyard and the door was open.
Yeah. So he knew he was making preparations. Pretty sure he told Chavo he loved him. And there was 5 texts sent to coworkers using both him and his wife's phones. 4 of them had their address. The 5th one said the dogs were in the backyard. Guerrero and referee Scott Armstrong both got these texts. Guerrero woke up with the text, went back to sleep. Just figured he was sleep texting or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Sunday morning, the night of the day of the pay-per-view, Benoit called WWE's offices, said his son was vomiting and he could not make it. He said he would be late, taking a later flight. So he didn't appear. That's when they sent people over to his house. They sent cops over and they found him.
Yep.
So, yeah, the fact that he used a weight machine to kill himself, it's not funny.
No, it's not.
It's kind of
ironic.
Ironic, you know?
A report had stated that he had kind of researched the quickest way to break a neck.
Yeah. You stack the weight up, you pin it, then he ties his head, and then he releases it. And it's like a force of 1,000 pounds just ripping his head up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened. It's very vulgar and
brutal,
terrible, but that's what happened. And it was instant. I mean, he probably died instantly. So, it just sucks that he had to take it out on his family.
Absolutely.
They didn't deserve it, especially his son.
No. No.
So here's what's crazy. His son, Daniel, or not Daniel, David, he has an older son. Son that was, I don't know what age he is, but he was not there when it happened.
Okay.
I think he was staying with a friend or something, or I'm not sure exactly. But he would have been part of it.
Absolutely.
He wasn't there.
Right.
Well, now he wants to be a wrestler.
Oh, my.
Here's the thing. WWE went through years of just blacklisting the Benoit name.
Right.
Editing him out. Censoring him.
They don't
say his name. Here comes David Benoit wanting to be a wrestler. And he's on these third-party circuits. I want to be in WWE, blah, blah, blah. And he's not bad. He looks just like his dad.
Oh, wow.
So you see him and you just think of Chris Benoit. The poor guy's not going to be a wrestler. WWE is not going to hire him.
No, they'll blacklist him or make up an excuse.
He could be the nicest guy, but it's like, dude, you need to give up your dream of that because that's just not going to happen, you know?
maybe come up with a persona of changing his name legally.
Even then, though, then, I mean, he looks like him.
Say, I'll go as the Masked Crusader and wear a mask every time.
You're going to have to put a mask on, dude.
The Man in the Iron Mask.
So it's like, yeah, you need to give that dream up, buddy.
And that's sad. He shouldn't have to. Shouldn't have to pay for his father's sins or crimes or...
Yeah. So there was a suicide note, not initially found, but then it was found in a Bible that he sent to his first wife. It had a handwritten note that said, I'm preparing to leave the earth. It's almost like he was searching for help. He was crying out.
Kind of secretly crying out and...
Texting addresses, like, this last minute thing, I'll text these my addresses.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will show up and save me from doing this.
Right. But it was still too late for his family.
Yeah. The ashes they were cremated. Christopher Nowinski, who was a neuroscientist, he used to be a wrestler. He dealt with concussions firsthand. He said that Benoit was treated or was suffering from repeated and untreated concussions, which led to a psychosis. Benoit was one of the only guys that would take a chair shot to the back of the head, which is stupid.
Yeah.
That's what caused a lot of them.
Yeah.
Tests conducted by West Virginia University showed that his brain was so severely damaged, it resembled the brain of an 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient. I think you said that, didn't
you? Yeah. One day... Him and Guerrero were in a car together and were in an accident. They'd both had concussions. That night, they went in and wrestled as if nothing happened. They didn't know the word quit.
Part of it, too, if you saw Benoit in his early career and saw Guerrero in his early career, they were not as big.
Okay.
These guys were pumping steroids.
Absolutely.
Steroids make you heal faster. They give you bravado, right?
Okay.
You're dealing with a concussion. You're pumping steroids. You're healing faster, you know, in a fake way from the concussion. Your brain's not healing, but your mentally
body.
And your body, you get bravado. I can do this. I'm fine.
Yeah.
You go out there. You take more bumps. You get more concussions. You get worse ones. You know, you get brain damage. It's a never-ending cycle, right?
Right, right.
So this is kind of what woke wrestling up and football to CTE.
Right.
He was one of the first cases, excuse me, where it went bad. And it's like, oh, what caused this? Brain damage. Maybe we should give people time off and start treating their wounds and, you know...
Instead of putting a Band-Aid on it, let's give them some time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's probably a good idea to let athletes rest.
Probably not only in, like, the wrestling and football, possibly even the military, they change their helmets.
Yeah.
I had noticed in about 2004, the military helmet had changed, and they're constantly changing them now, but the whole concussion word throughout the whole medical civilian military was taken more serious.
Yeah, not even just changing their helmets, but making it harder for them to get concussions, right?
Like right.
WWE, they're one of the only, I mean, other wrestling companies don't, but they outlawed shots to the head. No chair shots to the head. No weapons to the head. You know, you're not allowed to do that kind of stuff anymore.
Right.
No dropping on your neck. No dropping on your head.
Right.
That's obviously something they should have done a long time ago.
Absolutely. Right? Like, who in the world thinks it's a good idea to take a chair to the head to begin with?
The chairs they use are real chairs.
Right.
People sit in them.
Yeah, I've seen them, like, jump into the audience.
Yeah.
push a guy out, pick his chair up, and slam it into
another.
They're
real chairs. They're not aluminum foil. Like, they're real. So taking headshots from those, oh, my gosh, dude. Now, they might not be the heavy gauge chairs that we use at, like, churches and stuff.
Right.
But they're still strong enough for people to sit in.
Right.
So that could definitely do – anything could do damage to your skull. I could hit you with this microphone and mess you up bad.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So just the fact that they didn't have these rules in place and these wrestlers were – who knows how many lives are destroyed because of that.
It's hard to say.
He's just one that stood out because he destroyed his family's lives, you know? But it's just sad. I remember hearing this news, and it just completely destroyed me. Like, I was sad for days over it.
And initially when the night was a WWE, they kind of did a memorial to him. And then the very next night when all the news came out, they're like, we're gonna rewind that and take that back.
No, they just thought he was either murdered or had a heart attack or something. Because his friend Eddie Guerrero that you were saying died in a car accident, he actually died of a heart attack a couple years before this.
Right.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, but he just had a heart attack.
They were good friends.
Yeah.
And best friends.
That's probably some of what led to him going downhill because they were so close.
Right. It's like
they
losing a brother.
They were wrestling since the beginning together. So they were brothers, you know.
His dad had said it had pretty much broke him.
Yeah. I mean, you're on the road. It's lonely. You're wrestling. You're driving. Wrestling, driving. You have your brothers, and that's it. You don't have your family there with you. You know, it's your wrestling brothers.
Right.
And when the one that's closest to you dies, it's just like the military, right?
Yeah, you grieve. And
yeah, I mean, it's like family. It's closer than family.
It is.
So when they're gone, and then you're dealing with concussions and bodily injuries and depression and mania and all this stuff.
Mental health and
it's drugs and steroids.
Right, those don't go well together.
It's not a good combination.
No.
So there was a storyline, it's like a month or so before this happened, a week or so, where Vince McMahon dies.
Okay.
Like somebody blew up his limousine or whatever.
Oh yeah, I think I remember hearing that.
Yeah. And literally, they're playing it off like he's dead or where is he? This happens at Chris Benoit. They just abandoned that storyline. Vince just shows up again. They completely abandoned it. It was so funny. You know, I mean, it sucks. The situation was not funny.
No.
But the fact that they just, Vince is alive again. Here he is. That's funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they, their play or whatever you want to call it was
and the timing of we're gonna have a storyline where he dies the week that Benoit dies. It's like what?
Bad story.
Yeah. So you had some conspiracies that you wanted to talk about that you noticed.
Well, yeah, one of the documentaries that I'd watched, it didn't really put any context into it, but it had a clip of Benoit and his wife sitting in a bathtub. And I guess it was his manager that he had stole his wife from and taken the wife. But they're sitting in a bathtub, and Benoit's going off, "How's it feel to lose everything? I've got it right here."
Like cutting a promo on his manager?
Yeah.
Almost.
And so I was just thinking, you know, if that was me, on the receiving end of that, I can't say that I would have taken it personal. Perhaps the manager had something to do with it, but at the same time, why would you want to kill off one of your highest grossing?
And we had said earlier, you know, when you had brought that up, I said, keep in mind it's wrestling.
It is.
And they do that kind of stuff all the time. There's promos. It's a bunch of testosterone and anger.
Yeah.
And you're in there doing a show with each other. Brother, I got your wife now, brother. You know?
Right.
I'm banging your wife now.
It makes for good TV.
Yeah. It's just a shoot, right? It could have been just a shoot. Who knows? But With wrestling, you never really know.
And definitely, I'm not pointing any fingers saying that the manager did it.
I mean, it's
it was kind of my instant
It's a fun conspiracy theory. I mean, for me, this is so proven that it was a murder-suicide.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. And the fact that he was sending those letters and the Bibles.
The text messages, the phone text messages, calls. And
like, to me, that just proves he... And they have the proof that he was messed up in the head.
Yeah.
He had roid rage.
Yep.
He had anger issues. He was known to beat his wife before. You know? Like, she had come out, you know, with violence against her from him.
Okay.
He had attempted to choke her and hit her before.
Some of the stories I heard were that was, you know, he had, forget who he was wrestling, but he had actually dropped the guy on his neck and snapped it.
Yeah.
He ended up being fine, but Benoit was the kind of wrestler that if he messed up, he kind of went to self-discipline.
Yeah.
And he had done something in one of the other countries that they were wrestling in. And it was an unnoticeable mistake.
Well, and the thing about that, I'm going to pause you real quick. The thing about that is wrestling is more important. Like, what's more important in wrestling is taking care of the person you're in the ring with.
Right.
I do not hurt you. I protect you. Right. I make it look like I'm hurting you.
Right.
But I do not hurt you. And Benoit took that to a whole other degree.
Right.
Right.
So in this foreign country they're in, and he makes one small mistake, not even noticeable to the average person. And after the match, his buddy that he was wrestling couldn't find him. Well, he went into the locker room. Benoit was doing like 1,000 squats to punish himself for that small mistake. And then the day that he had broke that other wrestler's neck, they found him in a closet sobbing.
Yeah.
And they had to pick him up and like take him out.
See, I don't think that Benoit had a bad heart.
No, I don't think he did either.
I think he was a good guy.
He had to have been a good guy if he cared so much about the people he was wrestling
with. People loved him. I mean, this completely... He had so many friends and family backstage. This completely shattered everybody. Like, I've never seen so much sadness when this happened. You know? They came out on stage and did a memorial for him that night.
Right.
And everybody was crying. It was horrible. You could not be a jerk in life and have that kind of effect on people.
No.
Right?
No.
And I don't think he was a bad guy. I think he made a huge mistake. I think he made a bunch of mistakes that led to this by not seeking help, you know, by being...
Right.
By being carefree about, hit me in the head, I don't care, and taking wrestling too serious.
One too many hits to the head and one too many injections.
He took it too serious.
Absolutely.
Because in order to be the top wrestler, you have to do roids to get big. You have to be strong. You have to keep plowing.
Yep.
You have to take headshots and keep going. You can't miss a night. You can't rest.
You have to do what the other guys are not doing.
Yeah. So to me, he just took it too serious, man. He was militaristic to an umph degree.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it just sucks that his family had to pay for it, and his innocent son, who he didn't know what was going on.
No right? clue. It kind of maybe makes you think, did he do something that he was trying in his way to punish himself for?
Could have been.
And then once he killed his wife and son, he's like, oh man, I did the ultimate thing. So now
he
suicide
just went into
is
a complete blind rage.
Yeah. Right?
His wife could have said something and they got in an argument and he just snapped. And he just goes into roid concussion rage. You know?
Right.
And then he wakes up, he kills them, wakes up, comes out of the rage. Oh no, what did I do? And then he kills himself.
Yep.
That happens.
That self-punishment mindset for I screwed up. And
some people can get so angry that they completely black out. Right?
Yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can.
And I don't see why that wouldn't have happened with him. You know?
You know, even us as normal people, we can have that blackout if something sets us off.
Or it's like when you're a kid, you're playing with your cousins, and they piss you off so bad, you hit one of them in the stomach.
Yeah.
Right? Or you slap one of them. And then immediately you're like, oh, no, they're going to go tell on me. Why did I do that? Or you feel bad. They're crying. You're like, oh, no. And then you're
it
like,
it was an accident. I didn't mean to do it.
Hit me back.
Yeah.
Hit me back so you don't. That's kind of probably what he felt, right?
Probably. And
instant remorse.
And once they're dead, you can't say, well, kill me back.
Yeah. I have to kill myself so I don't face the repercussions.
Right.
Right.
And being, you know, not that he was, we hear all the time, well, celebrities can get out of things.
He wasn't that famous.
Yeah, right. But if he could have had the medical, he could have had the medical and the psychiatric problems on his side, he may have still faced jail, but it may have been more of like a,
he would have done life
an
in
asylum
prison.
Or something.
Yeah, I mean, he would have done life locked up regardless, right? But it might have been a lesser, like, okay, you go to the asylum or you get special treatment, or, you know,
could have been something that a good lawyer could have helped him with. He could have got some help. Now, would he have wanted to live the rest of his life knowing what he did? No, I can't imagine any human wanting to live with that.
I mean, the
that,
CTE but. Diagnosis would have been enough for them to say, oh, he was insane.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he would get off scot-free. I mean, he would probably do half his life at least, right?
He would have been definitely kicked out of the WWE and any other wrestling.
Shamed.
He would have been... Now, after they would have done the brain scan and said, oh, well, actually, he does have, not autism.
CTE.
Traumatic brain injury. He's got Alzheimer's. Maybe they would have lifted that black mark a little bit, but he didn't stay alive long enough to...
Well, in the corporate wrestling world, no matter what, they would have distanced themselves from him.
Yeah. Right?
No matter what.
Well, you'd have to because you don't want...
A family killer. And then all the other people, what if he snaps on me?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, he definitely wouldn't have been able to wrestle anymore.
No. But he was great. He was a good wrestler, dude.
Yeah.
He had some matches where it was like, this guy is going to be, he's the best. And then he dies, and it just goes away. He was one of the best. Eddie Guerrero and Shawn Michaels are considered the two best wrestlers ever.
He was going to make it into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And after he snapped, they yanked it. They yanked him.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you remember Eddie Guerrero at all. Viva la raza!
I wasn't really allowed to watch wrestling growing up. So
technically speaking, Eddie Guerrero was top.
Yeah.
And Benoit was right there with him.
Now, when mom and dad weren't home... I might sneak a little bit, but we didn't have cable or satellite. We had regular antenna TV.
Fox 59.
And it was, I think, WWF is what.
Up to 2001, I believe.
I'm not real good with the changes and the names and so forth, but it was Incredible Hulk and Andre the Giant and Jake the Snake and the Bushwhacker Brothers and... the Money Man and
that would have been mid to late 80s.
Those were the guys that I watched, and then kind of once it changed is turned into something maybe Raw,
more soap opera, like it was more Jerry Springer. Stone Cold says I just whipped your ass. Right.
Was there a Butterbean
was boxing.
Okay
But there was a Bam Bam Bigelow.
Okay. Maybe I'd watch something with Butterbean versus, I think there
well,
was
Well, they didn't have Butterbean in for a match.
Yeah, I think that I was think in the I remember
late
watching.
80s.
Yeah. So
it was Butterbean versus this cowboy guy, and I don't remember his name. Bart Gunn.
Okay.
Cowboy Bart Gunn, and Butterbean knocked him out in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it was just boom.
Yeah, he hit him out so hard.
But that's about when I quit watching.
Okay. It got way better after that, by the way.
After Incredible Hulk changed his name to just the Hulk, or probably because...
Copyright.
Got the green guy out there.
Yeah.
But...
Well, it got a lot better after that. You missed a lot. You missed the Stone Cold and the Rock days, the Undertaker days. Like, you missed a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, good wrestling. Yeah, and,
good storylines. Like, yeah, it got great. The Hulk days, I respect old wrestling, but I kind of think it's silly.
It wasn't
very good.
It was very staged.
Yes, and slow, and it was all about how big you were.
Yeah.
Now it's about how athletic you are.
Right.
How impressive you can be, and that's what it should be about.
Maybe a little bit more of actual wrestling than show.
I'm there to watch a show where people can do things that I can't.
Right.
Right? Parading around the ring like Hulk and flexing, anybody could do that.
Yeah.
But technical wrestling, like feats of athleticism that nobody else in the world can do.
Right.
That's what I pay to see.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And when you
no
have,
disrespect, Mr. Hogan, I love you, but you're not a good wrestler.
The Hulk did live action soldier or something like that. He
a bunch of movies.
A lot of wrestlers went into movies and.
Yeah, Mr. Nanny was that Hulk, Mr. Nanny?
I think so. And then The Rock did something similar.
The Rock's like the number one actor in the world.
Yeah, and then. John Cena was like, hey, I see how much The Rock's making out of wrestling. I think I'm going to give
it
a shot.
He's not as good.
No.
Who would have thought, though, that The Rock would be just a little wrestler, and now he's the number one in-demand actor to ever do a movie?
Yep.
How crazy is that?
That is crazy. But it goes to show that wrestling has not lost its kind of Hollywood flair.
No. It's bigger than ever now.
And they're producing good actors out of that also.
I mean, it's literally more popular than ever right now.
Really?
All the new generations.
Okay.
The way they bring in UFC fighters, movie stars, Jake Paul or Logan Paul.
Uh-huh.
He's a YouTube, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's like the top YouTuber.
Okay.
Like he's in there and wrestling. It's just bigger than it's ever been now.
Everybody's wanting to get in the ring.
It is. It's crazy.
Hey, for $50,000, I'll get in the ring and let them throw me around a little bit.
Dude, when wrestling is done right and you have the perfect heel and the perfect baby face going at each other and you have a good storyline, an emotional match where they just give everything, there's nothing like it. Like, I love it when it's perfect like that. Most of the time, it's just cheesy kiddie stuff. But when it's set right and the story is told well, there's nothing like it, dude. So, and Benoit, I mean, he was obsessed. He was a fan and a wrestler.
Absolutely. That's probably what made him so good. Not only was he just a wrestler, he was a fan of it. That was his life. And probably even wrestling was probably his God. Like, it was what he lived for.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, now that we've had 20 years or so to kind of sit back and kind of let things play out and see where it goes. It's still a tragedy, but it just sucks, man. It sucks. Sucks that we had to lose somebody like him and that his family had to go with him. So, but yeah, that's the Chris Benoit story. Rest in peace. And David, I hope if you're out there listening, you get your dream and become a wrestler, buddy.
Yeah,
it might
absolutely.
Not be for WWE, but you know what? Keep trying.
Even if you go to Mexico and be one of the
Lucha Libras.
Yeah. Wear a mask. Wear a
Keep
mask
trying.
And be a great
Wear
wrestler.
Wear a mask. Yeah. Change your name. Wear a mask. All right. Thanks for listening.